Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to our online worship service. My name is Josh Erickson, and I am one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and I'm so excited to spend this time with you whenever you might be enjoying or participating in this online service. We are so grateful that you have decided to invest your time into a moment where you can enjoy this service, and we hope our time together is a blessing to you. Hey, if you've never been a part of our service before or are new to our YouTube channel, we encourage you to hit that subscribe button so you get notified of new messages and new things that we post online, and it's a great way to stay better connected to Park Ridge Presbyterian. Well, hey, today we're going to be exploring the very classic and very important questions around faith and suffering and evil, and we hope that through our time together you have a better understanding of who God is and how God is at work in the world and who God wants you to be in light of all of that. Well, in the late 60s, around 1968 to be exact, a 13-year-old boy went to visit his pastor and brought with him some very deep questions. The boy began by asking the pastor the very simple question, and he said, "Pastor, if I hold up my hand and I extend some fingers, is God going to know what fingers I'm going to extend?" And the pastor replied to the young man, "Yes, God knows that because God knows everything." So the very insightful 13-year-old young man pulls out from his backpack or with him a copy of Life magazine from the 1968 edition. And on there is a cover from people who are suffering in the civil wars in the place of Nigeria. And in particular, there's some children that are suffering from the consequences of the civil war there in the 1960s. And the young man says to the pastor, "Does God know about this?" And the pastor says to the 13-year-old, "I know you're not going to understand this, but yes, God knows about that too." And according to what is written in this biography of this one day famous young man, he leaves the office of the pastor and says, "I want nothing to do with a God who knows about this and does nothing." Now, this could have been any 13-year-old boy that could have walked into an office of a pastor and had this conversation, but this particular 13-year-old boy would grow up and become the one and only Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, you might know, is the founder of Apple Computers and is the one who changed the world a couple times over with Apple to begin with, and then the iPhone and the iPod. And people wonder what would have happened if Steve and his pastor had a better conversation around this, specifically around suffering and evil. Maybe Steve would have gone on to do great things in the name of Jesus, still transforming the world, but maybe making it even more what God wants it to be. And I share that story because there are so many times and so many places that people of all ages, whether it's 13, 18, or 80, or anywhere near or in between or before or after, have these questions around suffering and evil, and they become very big roadblocks to having a vibrant faith. Because people wonder about this all the time, and it reduces down to this classic question: if there is a good and perfect God, why is there suffering in the world? Because the sense is that if there's a good and perfect God, God would not allow or God would not cause suffering or God would end all of it. And I get that. I understand that question, and I have wrestled with those questions too, and I'm sure you have as well. But what I want to offer up is maybe some helpful things that give us a better answer to some of those questions, because there's no good or perfect answer to why is there suffering and evil in this world. But we can get a better glimpse of why God has allowed it to happen and what God wants to be happening despite it or because of it. Now, I'm going to offer these up, and I hope they're helpful to you, and I know they've been helpful to me, because some of us have made peace with some of these things. Some of us are still wrestling with them, and either we've made peace with them or still wrestling with them, or we know somebody who is wrestling with them, because it's a very real challenge. And so to begin with, I want to offer up a very simple part of this, which is a reminder for all of us that God does not cause the suffering and evil in this world. God isn't out there trying to trick us. God isn't trying to trap us. God isn't trying to do things that are going to be a stumbling block to us. God doesn't act in that way. The reason that there is suffering and evil in this world is because God created this world, or caused existence to be, in a way that makes sure that we are free people and free creatures and a free creation. God did it all, and however God did it, in a way where we could act how we wanted, live how we wanted, love or not love how we want, and because of that, evil and suffering enters into the world. Because we don't always choose to be loving. We don't always choose to be kind. We don't always choose to do what's right for ourselves and best for others. And because of that, evil great and evil small and suffering large enters into the world. Because human beings don't show love. Now, one might wonder, well, why did God do this? And if the fact of the matter is that God is love, it goes down to this. Because if God is love and God is going to create, the most loving thing to do is to create a free creation, giving us free will to act as we want. Now, some people then will say, well, why doesn't God just help us do better? And God did help us do better. God sent us Jesus to show us what true freedom would look like, what truly being involved with God's mission to the world and making sure that God's dreams do come true. And that's one of the many things that Jesus does. Jesus is very clear that God has given us freedom. Jesus is abundantly clear that we are free to do what we want to do. Jesus was the victim of people choosing to do what they want to do. He died at the hands of people that did what they wanted to do. But Jesus also reminds us that God is love. Jesus reminds us that God does not send the rain on just the just or the good, because they thought that was a sign of God's favor. Rather, God is present for the just and the unjust alike. And God loves us all no matter what. Now, the other thing that happens in the midst of this, when God sends Jesus, is we are given hope. We are given an example of what it looks like to live freely in a way that is good for others and good for ourselves, that is loving of God and loving of others. But we're also given a hope that God has a plan. That God has a plan that exists from eternity and will exist through eternity. And that one day we believe that God is going to come back, and God is through in Jesus, and is going to make all things right. Which means that things aren't all right now, and that's okay. But God will make it right one day. And that is what we mean when we say God has a plan. God's plan is that one day Jesus returns and makes all of creation, all of existence, into the new heaven and the new earth, where everything is redeemed and everyone's experiencing perfect harmony, perfect love, no more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. And some days that is what we have to cling to. And some days that's what we have to hang on to, because things are hard and things are challenging. Another thing that is helpful to some people, and I know it's been helpful to me, is we think that God promises that there is going to be no suffering, that it should be only good. Or if we act in a certain way, that we will have God's blessings, or if we act in a certain way, we'll have financial or prosperity brought to us. God never promises any of that. The only thing that God promises when it comes to these things is that God will be with us all places and at all times. And that when we are going through the evil and the suffering of life, when our family members are facing cancer, when we're facing diagnoses, when we're facing challenges that are beyond our control, when our heart is breaking for what we see in the news, what we need to remember is that God said, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will bring you comfort. I will bring you people to comfort you. I will give you hope that all is not lost. So when we're facing these challenges, or we're trying to help others wrap their heads around it, these are the things that we can cling to. We can have hope that Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. That I have brought about a new creation. That I'm going to come back one day and make all things new. These things will help us when we're facing these challenges of why there's suffering and why there's evil. Now, like I said at the outset, there aren't necessarily perfect answers for any of this. People are still like, well, isn't God culpable for all of this still? Yeah, God's culpable for it, because God is God and God is all powerful. But yet also God is not responsible for our actions. It's like being a parent, which is something that I have something to do with as the parent of two kids. I am mindful of the fact that one day I will not be responsible for my kids' choices. Right now they're 13 and 11. I'm very responsible for their choices. But one day they will be making all their own choices. My wife and I and all of our community will still have been part of raising them. And in some ways, will I always be culpable? Will I always be partly part of the people that raised them? Absolutely. But one day they will have freedom, complete freedom, to do as they please. And I hope and pray that they do right and that they don't bring about more suffering and evil, but more goodness and freedom. And being a parent is a limited metaphor, but it is one of the metaphors that helps us understand who God is. God is like the perfect parent. God is like the perfect coach, the perfect mentor, the perfect supervisor, the perfect artist, the perfect composer, director, whatever it is, that simply hopes one day that God's creation, that you and me and all of us will use our freedom to end evil and end suffering. And when we do that, we are inspired by God, inspired to live as God hopes we will live. Evil and suffering isn't going to go away, but we can cling to the hope that God is always with us when we go through it, and that God is calling us to bring these things to an end. And when we do, we bring freedom to one and all, and we bring freedom to ourselves. And that's a gift that God gives to each and every one of us. Would you please pray with me? God, we are grateful that you are with us all times. We're grateful that you're with us when life is good and great, and also when life is awful and hard, and everything in between. God, we are mindful that you have given us freedom and that you also still have a plan for this world. And God, we hope and ask that you will help us remember that part of your calling for each and every one of us is to choose with the freedom you have given to us to help evil and suffering end. God, we ask that you help more and more of us day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, to make that choice so that the world becomes more and more your dream come true. God, help us to make the right choices in as many days as we can. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you.